Melissa Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and we're fired up once again. This is another edition of the On the Mat Wrestling Show here on barnburner.ca. Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed, the Hall of Famer Steve Carney of WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Now we're going to discuss wrestling world. First, let's get to Raw. Delete. Steve, have we seen Matt Hardy be broken for the 160th time?
Well, it's funny because he's been doing the whole delete thing on the ramp basically since returning to WWE. This is the first time that he's really done it in the ring. And it tells me that they're going to try and make a go of this, whether or not he was able to purchase the broken gimmick from Anthem and take it back from Impact Wrestling. Personally, they're going to have to do something with him, seeing as his brother, Jeff's going to be out for another, 3 or 4 months. And if they want to have him doing something, I would think that it would be smart for them to do the, and even if it's not broken Matt Hardy, maybe it's broke down Matt Hardy or whatever. You can do enough with it to make it a new gimmick and get Matt Hardy going in the right direction again. So hopefully.
Now let me ask you, if they do this broken gimmick, which I think they are going to do it, where can they push him? Because they can't push him to heavyweight title. And now they can't push him to intercontinental title because I don't think they're going to see Matt Hardy against Roman Reigns. That's a mismatch there. So even if they push him, he's still going to be mid-card level. So I don't get this. Like, if you're going to push somebody in a new direction with the broken gimmick, and let's face it, the broken gimmick was over in Impact Wrestling and one of the best things in Impact Wrestling for 2017, where do you think what they can do with Matt Hardy? Is it going to still be in mid card, and are they wasting time then?
I think it is, and I think they have. To be honest, but I think that they're going to be able to use him in a lot of non-ring, non-wrestling scenarios while they maybe this is what you would call a long burn type of situation where maybe you take him out of the ring and you don't have him wrestle on television. And you do a bunch of vignettes, kind of like they did over at Impact at TNA at the compound and with Rebecca and with Young King Maxwell and Vanguard One. Maybe we start this whole long burn vignette style all over again while we wait for Jeff Hardy to return, and then have them go to. Into the tag team realm.
But don't they have that called the Fashion Files already? Because these guys never mind. All right. Now, speaking about somebody who's broken, Rory Mitchell, our monster among men, here for Barn Burner. So, Rory, what do you think of Matt Hardy being broken?
Well, delete. He needs to delete him off of Raw and present him on the SmackDown somewhere, because I think that's his new home, and I think the gimmick would look very fresh over on the SmackDown roster. But is it draft season? No, it's not. So, like you just spoke with Steve and yourself there, is, where's the angle now going to be? He's not IC worthy. You can maybe put him to the champion, but what's he going to do? He's going to end up getting deleted with Suplex City, if you really want to be honest there. So I'm not too sure what they're trying to do. I know it's going to be a merch idea. You know, WWE is very sold on their merch. So they'll be able to capitalize some way, somehow off of it.
All right. This past Saturday, unfortunately it wasn't on the WWE network. WWE presented Starrcade from Greensboro, North Carolina, Ric Flair, Ricky Steamboat, Rock and Roll Express, Dustin Rhodes, or came out like gold dust coming in. Steve, do you think that WWE has finally, they used War Games last week with the NXT, now using Starrcade. I can't wait for Halloween Havoc next year, Fall Brawl, Spring Stampede. Do you think all these names will be brought back eventually by the WWE?
Well, I think that it just gives the WWE a chance to test out some of these old names from the WCW era and see how they how people react to them. I think that, you know, they've already talked about not increasing but reducing the number of pay-per-view events on Sundays next year. I think they had like 18 this year. I think that the plan is to go with 15 next year. I think that but what it does is it gives them a bunch of other events that they can pick and choose. Okay, we don't have to have Backlash every year. Okay, we don't have to have Clash of Champions every year. We don't have to have Over the Edge every year or No Mercy every year. We can put in, we can put Starrcade here. Oh, we can put Bash at the Beach, or we can put the Great American Bash in, and it just basically allows them to try and keep things, for lack of a better term, to keep things fresh. You're gonna have the big four every year, but you don't have to have the same 12 the same 15 names every single year, and you're able to keep things original and keep things fresh in the eyes of the fans.
You're listening to the On the Mat Report with Roy Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, Steve Carney of WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Guys, I'm going to break something right now. I'm going to break something, and this is maybe huge here. You know, the WWE deal with USA Network or NBC Universal is right about up. The WWE, it is said they are talking to ESPN and Fox. Now, arguably, we both love wrestling. Arguably, people still say, oh, it's fake, it's not real, it's sports entertainment, blah, blah, blah. But let's first start off with Rory. This would be a huge move if they come off NBC Universal and go to ESPN or go to Fox, wouldn't it?
It would, because they've already done stuff with ESPN. We've seen plenty of times where, you know, Seth Rollins, Triple H, they've appeared on ESPN's First Take with Matt Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. So I could see that being the direction. Plus you have old commentator Jonathan Coachman, which I believe is still on ESPN also too. So let's see what happens. It would be a big time move, and you know, there's a lot of things they could put into the mix. We shall see, right? We can't really speak into the future too much. Let's see if they do the right thing.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, with Coachman no longer at ESPN, so that's one piece that's not at ESPN anymore, though, that maybe perhaps the more important piece, Michelle Beadle, is, and the talk is that she may be moving from Los Angeles to New York to be on the new morning show with Mike Greenberg, and that would be a big piece and a big important, I guess you could say, marker for the WWE. There's no bigger WWE fan in that building than Michelle Beadle, and I'd be interested to see that. Fox, you know, they don't have quite the same I guess you could say the same welcoming. Their numbers have not been nearly as good over the same stretch of time as ESPN. And there's a lot of turmoil going on at Fox. There was the whole change at Fox Sports Digital, and then of course the issues involving the head of Fox Sports, Jamie Horowitz, and sexual harassment of employees there. So I don't know if they really want to get into that dead. Although, you know, it seems like Fox has made the right moves with Eric Shanks, and so I'm curious to see there. To me, Vince McMahon is about loyalty, and while Dick Ebersol may not be at NBC anymore, there are a lot of people over the that have been with NBC throughout this whole tenure with him, and I think that Vince is going to want to say while things change, he also likes the consistency that goes on at NBC, and so I have a feeling that NBC Universal still has the inside track.
And actually, that is somewhat correct, Steve. I've been talking to a couple sources, and we mentioned about, you know, Starrcade, Halloween Havoc, and all that. And yes, they decreased the pay-per-views to increase. And looks like Vince wants more the return of Saturday night's main event on NBC, and they're going to build it Saturday night's main event. Brings you Halloween Havoc, brings you Great American Bash, something like that. That's why they're testing out this. That's what I hear. But I hear also that Fox, if they lose the UFC, because there's question marks there also that UFC are moving away from Fox, if they lose UFC, Fox will be a big player for the WWE. And you're right, with all the turmoil from Fox, I invite Fox to come up to Canada and have a conversation with me. Now, Rory, let's talk about your favorite stuff. No, not male wrestlers. Females. Females hitting the roster. Both three new females on SmackDown and on Raw. Let's start off with Raw. Paige coming back and bringing Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. They're called Absolution. By the way, Steve, let me ask you this. Doesn't Mandy Rose look like Trish Stratus a little bit?
Yeah, I think you get any beautiful blonde that does.
Aren't you blonde,
that,
Steve?
That does. What's that?
Aren't you blonde?
I'm not blonde. No, I'm bald.
Yeah, bald, blonde. You see, could come. Even Rory told me that Steve looks good for a bald guy. But anyways, let's talk about all these Paige returning. And the interesting thing about Raw this week, they did not attack Asuka. I was looking for her to finally Asuka needs competition because she did a number. What was it? Less than a second last night on Raw. With her opponent there, less than a second. And by the way, Dana Brooke, like, what are they doing with her? But Rory, what do you think of these new ladies finally coming to WWE roster?
It gives the women's division a little bit of an edge. Let's talk about, like, a thoroughbred Mandy Rose and Deville. Like, I like that competitive nature. I like the gimmick that the Bills got, like the whole mixed martial arts background and whatnot. This is just a simple angle, I feel, in my personal opinion, to make them look strong. And you just made a mention about Asuka. They haven't attacked her. Maybe have an angle where, you know, Asuka comes out and maybe takes one of them out, right? Maybe take the Bill out, because I think she's the weaker for right now from what I see. Because we know that they have big plans with Mandy there and Paige coming back, so it should be interesting to see what happens for the new year.
All right, Steve, what do you think? And let's talk about the other side, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan. Liv Morgan comes off as a heel now, but she's been a face for all this time in NXT.
Yeah, I think that on the SmackDown side. They had to do something. If they were going to bring three girls in on the Raw side, they basically had to do the same thing on SmackDown, and it does the exact same thing there. It injects a little bit of extra life into a SmackDown women's division that honestly I think is stronger. You know, you have Charlotte, you have Becky Lynch, you've got Natty. And now you add three more in there in Ruby Riott, who has been around forever. You know, most people have known her for the last, you know, 12 to 18 months at NXT.
But this is a girl that's been around for, you know, 7-8 years on the independent scene, busting her ass to try and just get in to WWE, because she isn't the, you know, she doesn't have this stereotypical look that Vince McMahon is looking for, where you're either, you know, unbelievably gorgeous and tall and or you're a second generation, or you have some connection to Vince already. She's not either of those things, and she's worked her ass off and shown that, you know, I can hang. And then you have Liv Morgan, who basically is going to turn into the female version of Angel Amore, if you ask me, and Sarah Logan, who is the muscle and playing the Sonya Deville part, but I think, much like Deville, is the weakest of the three. And so I'm curious to see what goes on there. But it's new life, and I think it's good for that women's division on SmackDown.
Now, here's the interesting thing. They mentioned on Raw that Paige started the Revolution or Divas or whatever, similar to what Emma used to say when before she was released. Now on SmackDown, what do you think they're going to say? Because Liv Morgan did not start the Revolution. You know, the other one you mentioned, who's just new there, the Muscle, did not start the Revolution. And Ruby Riott, you know, not too many people know her outside of NXT. So could this be Paige pulling the string on both shows? And I'll ask you this. There's been talk of finally a ladies' Royal Rumble match. Do you think that brought up six ladies combined with the ladies they have now? Do you think it's time for a ladies' Royal Rumble match? Of course, you could bring Nikki Bella back and a couple other people, but Steve, what do you say?
Yeah, you know what would be interesting is to do the ladies' Royal Rumble and have a surprise show up in the ladies' Royal Rumble, like say. Oh, I don't know. Gail Kim. How amazing would that be to see Gail Kim show up for the Royal Rumble? Like that sort of thing would be the most interesting part of doing a women's Royal Rumble. But
Hold on, Steve. Let me ask you something. Hold on. See, you probably have talked to somebody, but you're wrong with the K. That's the gimmick, and the gimmick is Kelly is going to return.
Oh,
by the way, Kelly looks so good, I named her twice. But anyways, Kelly, I don't think she's going to win, but that's the rumor I have heard, that they wanted Trish Stratus, and Trish Stratus, you know, is a mom, two kids now. Gail Kim is, you know, she's now takes on a backseat role or backstage role with Impact Wrestling. So when you have talked to Kelly, and it looks like she may be returning sooner than later to participate in that ladies' Royal Rumble. But also, remember, two ladies that we were talking about in our last show for NXT Preview, and people want to see them, the iconic duo. Imagine if they show up and win the ladies' Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I you know, I think Sheldon Surrey may have something.
Yeah, Kevin Bieksa has taught me to throw that, you know, punch there. He's knocking out everybody. So Sheldon Surrey, you know, he was a former Montreal Canadian, you know, Maple Leafs could always beat Montreal anyways. But Sheldon Surrey, I can't believe it. What does Sheldon Surrey have that Steve Kearney doesn't?
Probably about $25 million.
It's actually $15 million now because, you know, Kelly is expensive. But anyways, go ahead.
But yeah, I'd be curious to see what, you know, if the Women's Royal Rumble doesn't turn out to be what the day after WrestleMania is for the guys, you know, when you expect to see that new debut. Or that big return, that would be an interesting way to get a career jump started.
All right, Rory, what do you say?
The Women's Royal Rumble would be interesting. I would be more interested to see And I've been hearing this online and teased out in the atmosphere there is, we're going to see an elimination chamber possibly with the woman. That could be something interesting that I am really, really waiting to see, you know. Imagine having the likes of, like, Charlotte and all the big heavy hitters all placed in the elimination chamber going after one title, one belt.
So now here's we'll close out with the ladies that look for more with AJ Styles and stuff like that. But we haven't talked about these ladies, the four horsewomen of the MMA world. Imagine if they are pulling the strings, Steve.
Yeah, you know, I don't know why they would go, you know, maybe that's why you're seeing them go after Bailey and Sasha Banks more than Alexa Bliss. You know, but you have not seen the girl, you know, and then you saw the girls go after Charlotte and Becky Lynch on the SmackDown side. That's an interesting dynamic that I had not thought of.
See, of course, I'm the scholar of the show. Anyways, Rory, what do you say?
It's a tough draw. You know, we need to see the armbar queen herself, Ronda, show up. That's what I want to see and make it believable. When she decides to throw that armbar on potentially Charlotte, let's really see who's pulling the strings and pulling arms out of sockets.
All right. The Clash of Champions happens in 2 weeks. Last week, they were advertising AJ Styles, Jinder Mahal for the title, and they scrapped that match because they're going to face off at Clash of Champions. Do you believe that Jinder Mahal will be crowned once again the WWE champion? Let's start off with Rory.
Absolutely. I'm all in on Jinder. My only gripe about the Mahal run is that they need to get him out of the Singh brothers' way. I don't want to see it. I think Jinder is over as a heel in my eyes. He's just got that look about him. And at the beginning of the year, I was at a house show here in London, Ontario. And I was looking at that match, and the first thing I said to the group of guys I was with is like, guys, they're pushing Jinder right now. And they're like, no. And I said, you guys are going to see. And then all of a sudden, Jinder gets himself into a main event spot, and then he becomes a champion. I believe in this guy. He does a lot of work, you know. He's always in and out of the gym. He's always working. He's always training. If you follow him on Instagram there, you can see all his workout videos and all that stuff. And he's top-notch, you know. So let's give credit where credit's due. He's a good heel champion in the last, you know, couple of years, and I expect him and AJ Styles to have a great match at Clash of Champions.
Steve?
Yeah, you know, I look at Jinder Mahal much like most NFL fans think of Bill Belichick. This is a guy that did not succeed the first time around, but was able to basically go away, regroup, and come back better. And that's exactly what Jinder Mahal has done. You know, the whole getting stuck in gimmicks like 3MB with Heath Slater and Drew McIntyre as basically comedy. I felt bad for all three of those guys because I thought that all three of them could have found themselves in better situations. You see McIntyre went away and basically has come back as the man in NXT. Slater has become a tag team champion, and then Jinder has basically rebuilt himself into a great heel main eventer. And kudos to him. I think I agree with Rory. I think he takes the title and starts 2018 as the year of the Maharaja.
Right,
yes, Steve. Yeah, I like how that rolled off your tongue. The Maharaja.
All right, look, we mentioned the Royal Rumble, female Royal Rumble, but I'm going to ask you this. Let's start off with Rory. Who do you think wins the 2018 Royal Rumble? Do you think it's some guy from Raw or some guy from SmackDown?
I've said this many times, and I'm going to put it out there, and I know you're going to cancel me out, and you're going to shoot down my hopes and dreams, but I'm saying it on the show right now. It has to be the cover athlete of WWE 2K18, Seth freaking Rollins
is going to go up against Brock Lesnar in the main event of Royal Rumble. You could book that, so he won't win the Royal Rumble. Next, both of you, Roy, go back to your Mitchell report. Steve, go ahead.
You know, if you had asked me this, say, like 2 or 3 months ago, I probably would have said Finn Balor, mostly because that's the guy that that you know fans have all enjoy watching him. You know, he's a fantastic worker, but you know, with him now being basically in Vince McMahon's doghouse for being too bland as the non-demon. I'm going to go with the Samoan submission machine, Samoa Joe, to win the 2018 Royal Rumble as the early favorite. I think that, you know, he's got the size, and he's shown that he's able to hang with Brock Lesnar. You know, they're about the same size, and they put together a fantastic match earlier this year. Would not be surprised to see Samoa Joe in the main event at WrestleMania against Brock Lesnar.
Samoa Joe has a good last name of Joe, but I believe it's going to be a SmackDown star, and I believe it could be either AJ Styles or Shinsuke Nakamura.
Stop
or
it.
Maybe Stop. the returning, once again, returning John Cena. Yes,
oh.
John Cena. And let's hope it's not, because Royal Rumble again is in Philadelphia, let's hope it's not Roman Reigns for the third time, because this guy will be booed out of the building. Anyways, sorry?
I'm just laughing, Joe.
Let's close off with this. So you're listening to the On the Mat Report show here on barnburner.ca with Steve Carney, our Hall of Famers, WBE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida, and Rory Mitchell, the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Let's talk about Impact Wrestling. Why? Because now they're based out of Canada, eh? So how do you think that's going to go around, Steve? Do you think they're going to have more Canadian athletes in Impact Wrestling? Or finally, because, you know, wrestling is built under Canadian, Bret Hart, Canadian, all these good Canadians. Do you think that finally Impact Wrestling can compete finally with the WWE?
Well, I think that it's going to be interesting to see if they go to a three-sided ring, just like Canadian football has three downs to the American version of four. I think that might be the most interesting thing. For Impact Wrestling is some of the, you know, do you stay six-sided ring? Do you go four-sided ring? Do you go three-sided ring? Do you make the ring bigger? Do you make the ring smaller? Do you make the ring, you know, do you put the ring on a platform? Do you put it on the ground? What are you going to do with the ring? I think there's plenty of questions that are out there for the folks at Anthem now moving to Canada.
Better question, and I'll spoil it out here, okay? Better question. Ask me who's the new ring announcer for Impact Wrestling.
Is it Joe Pasek?
No, because they couldn't afford me. It's Rory Mitchell. Rory Mitchell, let the cat out of the bag. We're going to have an interview for a ring announcing for Impact Wrestling. Come on, Rory, tell them.
Oh, this is news to me.
I sent you the email. You didn't get the email? It was, don't tell me. I sent you the fax also. The fax was like the Maple Leafs, Montreal, Tampa Bay couldn't get a trade done with the fax machine or what? Everything in Nashville screws up here. Once they come into Toronto, you'll see. You'll get an interview for, you know, being a towel boy, ring announcer, whatever you want. But is the future of wrestling, is it always going to be WWE, or is it Ring of Honor? Or let's close it with this, Steve, and I know you're home with this. The Bullet Club, Cody Rhodes has announced on YouTube and Twitter and all that, that they're going to do their own show in a 10,000-seat arena. What are your feelings about that?
Well, are they going to wrestle each other? Because The last I checked, you know, the last time that the Bullet Club got in the ring with the Bullet Club, you know, they saw Chase Owens stretching Kenny Omega during during G1 Climax events. I thought that, they've got some great talent in the Bullet Club. Omega, the Young Bucks, Cody Rhodes, and then, of course, the talent that follows Yujiro Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimp, is probably the most talent that you'll see in the Bullet Club. I'd be curious to see if they could put 3,000 seats butts in those just to see them. I don't see it. New Japan is fantastic, but in America, you know, them and Ring of Honor, they play very small arenas. You know, they play Sam's Town, which is like 1,500 seats. They play the ECW Arena, which is 1,500 seats. If they think that they're going to be able to put 10,000 butts in seats just to see them, I think that they've got another thing coming.
Okay, so now let me ask you, let's play devil's advocate here. If they brought in a guy, I don't know, maybe Chris Jericho, what do you say?
Now, like I said, you know, it depends on who they're working with. If Kenny Omega is going to work Chris Jericho on that match, or Cody Rhodes is going to work Chris Jericho, you're going to see butts in the seats. But I think if Kenny Omega is going to work Okada, that's going to put butts in the seats. If Tanahashi is going to come, that'll put butts in the seats. If Naito is going to come, that'll put butts in the seats. Now all bets are off. But just to see the Bullet Club, it's not that, you know, they'd be better off playing the Lakeland Civic Center down here, which is like 2,500.
All right. Steve Carney, WDA Radio, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
You can follow me on Twitter, at Steve Carney, StevCarney. You can hear me weekdays from 3 to 6 with my friend Steve Dumig on 620 WDAE, which is live and on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, tell them how they could get a hold of you. Everybody should know Rory has, you know, Steve, Rory has been doing a great job filling in for the broadcasting legend, Stormin' Norm Rumack. Do you miss Norm at all, or is Rory a good fill-in?
I'm sorry, filling in for who?
That's right. A fellow Syracuse alum, Norm Rumack. Do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's gonna be giving me the business. He's gonna knock me down with that building.
He'll give you a yellow, an orange scarf. Come on, Norm. You could catch Norm at Starbucks now. But you know, Norm, since we're becoming huge here, Norm's a security guard now. I need a security guard, so I put Norm to go get his schooling. I put him through school. He's a security guard now. So Steve, if you need security, call Norm Rumack.
So I can either have my choice of Norm Rumack or Ralphus.
That's right. Doesn't Norm Rumack look like Ralphus anyways? But anyways,
there
you know who looks like Ralphus, right? Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report on these. Go ahead.
You guys can follow me on Twitter, Rory EDN, on SoundCloud, Mitchell Report Unleashed, Apple Podcasts, by searching the name Rory Mitchell.
All right, Ralphus. Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.